Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Last week, the United States Supreme Court heard a challenge to Roe v. Wade. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this is an exciting time that we have prayed for, we have talked about for a long time. It finally, the opportunity to overturn Roe versus Wade in this case could possibly be the one.
It could be. It's the Dobbs case out of Mississippi that banned abortion after 15 weeks, which is prior to viability, prior to the ability of the baby at that gestation to live outside the womb. Mm-hmm. And so previous Supreme Court cases said that you could not ban abortion prior to viability. And that's the direction that the lower courts went. They applied the Supreme Court decisions, although they didn't agree with them. Some of them criticized the decisions, but they had no choice, they said. The Supreme Court could have allowed the case to stand because they actually followed the Supreme Court's prior decisions. But instead, the Supreme Court took the case. You need four justices to decide to take a case. You need five, obviously, to win a case. But on a case like this, it is likely that the four was probably looking at a potential fifth vote, and they might have had five people to actually take the case. We don't know. What we do know is the case was recently argued, and what we also know is that the case hasn't yet been written in its decision. It is now, as we speak today, the vote has been cast, and the decision will be in the process of being written. That vote was cast last week.
And we probably won't know the decision until June.
We won't know the decision until sometime next year, no later than by the end of June 2022. And here's something, no matter which way the court ruled last week as they got together toward the end of the week and cast their private votes as they decide who's going to write the decision one way or another, mm-hmm. we know in past history that these decisions have actually changed while the decision has been in the writing phase. We know that from a 1992 Supreme Court decision, Planned Parenthood versus Casey. After the oral argument, it was a 5-4 vote to overrule Roe versus Wade in 1992. Rehnquist was writing the opinion, and he did so for 30 days. And then O'Connor and Souter prevailed on Kennedy, who all three were on the bench at that time, and he changed his vote. The decision was taken away from Rehnquist, and for the next 30 days, it was written by Kennedy, Souter, and O'Connor to uphold Roe versus Wade. And so these things can change, and so we don't know, and we can't give up, and we can't stop praying until we actually see this decision in writing.
Right, and of course this case, which is Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health, concerns a Mississippi law which was enacted in 2018 that prohibits abortion after 15 weeks gestation. But Liberty Counsel, we filed an amicus brief in this case on behalf of many diverse groups of organizations, churches, religious leaders, and they all are saying or stating the fact that Roe needs to be overturned because legalized abortion is unconstitutional, violates the right to life, and supports racist eugenics. Now, you don't usually hear that statement in regards to abortion, but we have brought that fact out.
We brought this particular unique aspect of abortion before the court, and we've essentially tagged the court to say, you need to overturn Roe versus Wade because it is a racist eugenic decision that the Supreme Court adopted and even goes before that to 1927 Buck versus Bell decision. In our amicus brief, we represent over 70,000 African-American and Hispanic churches. So we're representing African-American and Hispanic people, leaders, individuals around the country. And it is on those communities that have been disparately impacted by abortion, and it was designed that way from the very beginning by Margaret Sanger in the Eugenicists. It begins with Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin is really the ideological foundation of modern abortion in America and obviously throughout the world. In his book, The Origin of Species, and oftentimes, unfortunately, you stop at that, but that's just the first few letters or words of his book, the full name of his book, The Origin of Species, by means of natural selection or the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. Let me repeat that. The preservation of favored races in the struggle for life.
That's very telling.
Preserving certain races that are favored,
i.e. what they consider perfect races.
Yes, and there are some that are, what he says in the second book, The Descent of Man, savages. Mm. And that he believes certain white Europeans were the superior race. And through evolution, these other races are bringing down the development of mankind.
Yeah, doesn't he actually argue that, like, blacks are not totally evolved?
Right, that they're lesser evolved than European whites and others as well, and that they are more akin to apes and baboons. And as soon as we can eliminate that kind of population, the better it is. In his bankrupt worldview, godless worldview, that the evolution of the human race can advance. And so Margaret Sanger was one of many in her time that were eugenicists, and they adhered to Charles Darwin. And part of his ideology was not only evolution, but social Darwinianism, which means using evolution as an idea to apply to the evolution of the human race. And so within that idea, there are some races that are favored, other races that are unfavored. Some races bring down the human race and they need to be eliminated. So Sanger and others began incarcerating people, or supported the incarceration of people, in sanitariums so they couldn't procreate. That became too expensive, and it takes a long time to keep people incarcerated and feed them and house them against their will. So eventually it was, let's forcibly sterilize these people so they can't procreate.
Right.
And the Supreme Court ultimately adopted that view in 1927 in the case of Buck versus Bell, in which the time Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. wrote the decision, joined by seven justices, and ultimately ruled that, quote, three generations of imbeciles are enough. So Virginia has put up with three generations long enough. It's time to put an end to your kind, and therefore they have the right to forcibly sterilize you.
Right. And of course, when Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood, she intentionally, and still they still do to this day, target minority neighborhoods in which to put the Planned Parenthood abortion facilities. In fact, 86% of their abortion facilities are in or near minority neighborhoods. So you could look at the high percentage of the black population that is being aborted because of that.
Yeah, and in Mississippi, for example, where this case came out of, that's before the United States Supreme Court, 3/4 of the abortions in that state are on African Americans.
Well, in New York, more black babies are aborted than born.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
that's horrendous.
You see the intentionality of Margaret Sanger. She started off with these contraceptive clinics, and she situated them in minority neighborhoods. Then the Supreme Court adopts this eugenic ideology through Roe versus Wade, 1973. And she then adds abortion. And to this day, as you mentioned, the vast majority, 40% of all the abortions in the United States are performed at Planned Parenthood abortion clinics. And then you see the high number of abortion clinics. 86% of the abortion facilities are in or near neighborhoods in the 25 U.S. counties with the most abortions. So they've intentionally selected the counties that have the most abortions, and then they put their abortion facilities in those particular minority neighborhoods. In fact, the largest abortion facility in the entire country is in Texas. And on one side of that large structure, multiple story, is a black community. On the other side is a Hispanic community.
It's just horrendous what this agenda is doing, you know, and to go back all the way to Charles Darwin to see there are certain races that are superior to others, that is just wrong.
You know, and you see all this so-called cancel culture, what really needs to be canceled is Charles Darwin.
Exactly.
And that racist eugenic history, because that really is at the foundation, and it is the foundational platform of all this eugenics movement and this war of the races and this animosity and this pitting together people because of the color or their ethnicity of their individual selves.
And you've also got Hitler as well as Margaret Sanger. They're all in that same mindset.
Hitler, you know, his group, the Nazis, used the Buck versus Bell Supreme Court decision to defend themselves during the Nuremberg trials. It's time to end abortion. It's time for the Supreme Court to overrule Roe versus Wade. It's time to follow the Constitution. It's time to return to an ethic that values the sanctity of human life. For more information, visit lc.org, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.